Turn your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. If you don't have your Bibles with you this morning, you can look in the middle of our bulletin and you will see the passage that we're going to be discussing. Let's start with verse 1 of chapter 9. It says, "For I considered all this in my heart, so that I could declare it all, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God." Now, today I'd like to talk to you about having joy and avoiding anxiety and misery in your life. You know, we live in a world where many people go through life with little joy. Many people go through life with little joy. Some dwell in a state of constant anxiety, worrying about everything from the price of gas to the future of their health. Some dwell in a constant state of criticism that robs them of the joys that were created to give them joy. I have seen parents so critical of their children that it robs them of the joyful blessing that God intended them to be. I was talking to one man in our church in Woodbridge, Virginia, that I was the associate pastor at years ago, and I was talking to him about his gift of being able to see problems that people are having. And this is what he said to me. He says, "I almost hate this gift. I'm miserable," he said. He said, "I am miserable because I am dwelling on the problems in people's lives so much that it robs me of the joy of being in church." That's what he said to me. You see, as you analyze this world, it can easily rob you of your joy. As you analyze this world, as you analyze people, as you analyze the wise and the just and the unjust and the unrighteous, you will be tempted to be robbed of your joy. It can easily rob you of your joy. Notice Solomon's analysis of this world in verses 11 and 12. Look what it says. It says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to the men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time, when it falls suddenly upon them." Now, what Solomon is stating here is that the world we live in is unpredictable and death is certain. The world we live in is unpredictable and death is certain. Now, these are not thoughts that inspire joy. Does that inspire joy in your heart? No, it doesn't in mine either. However, we will see in the previous 10 verses that are talked about here in chapter 9, we will see an exhortation to be joyful in light of this world. To be joyful in light of this world. So let's take a look at this passage and see how we can be joyful in this world. Now, first of all, we can be joyful in this world by focusing our hope in Jesus Christ. By focusing our hope in Jesus Christ. Now, in the previous two chapters, in chapters 7 and 8, Solomon had been contemplating the harsh reality that bad things happen to good people. And we talked about this in the previous weeks. We know that bad things can happen to good people. This world is paradoxical. Not everything that's good happens to good people, and not everything that's bad happens to bad people. Sometimes the opposite happens. And dealing with that is difficult. It can rob us of joy. But there is some hope and some joy that can be had in this world if we listen to these verses. In verse 1, after he considered all this, he declared that our works are in the hand of God. And then in verse 4, he said that there is hope for the living. Hope for the living. So because we are in the hand of God, we can have hope if we are among the living. Now, that is important. The living have hope because they can still experience the joys of this world. They can still experience joy. Someone once said, where there is life, there is hope. Where there is life, there is hope. And I guess the opposite could be said as well. Where there is no hope, there is no life. You see, in order to be among the living, you have to have hope. You have to have hope. You know, when you have no hope, you're dead inside. You may be walking around, but you're dead inside. You need hope. Something that you can grasp onto in this world that will help you and keep you going and give you joy in spite of the things that are going on around you. Well, I am here to tell you that by God's hand, He has provided a way for you to be among the living forever. Forever. Also, through His Son Jesus Christ, He has provided an unlimited source of hope, even in the face of the harsh realities of this world. I want you to read some verses with me that confirm this fact. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. It's near the end of your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now just flip a couple pages to chapter 3 in verse 18. It says, for Christ also suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just a few pages back in your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 22, it says this, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now these verses are telling us something. Yes, we are born in a human body, but we also have a soul. Now, we can live. We can be made alive. We can be among the living when we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says this, and you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then it goes on to say, even when you were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. You see, because of Jesus Christ, we can have our sins forgiven and we can have eternal life. That is the hope that God has provided through Jesus Christ, His Son. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you of all your trespasses. Now, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins, you have a hope. You have a hope that will keep you going in spite of this world. And not only that, through His Spirit, you will know that you are alive. You will know that you are alive. He will confirm in your heart that even if your body dies, you still will live. Even if your body dies, you still will live. That is the hope that Jesus Christ offers us, because He makes us living. He makes us alive. That makes all the difference in the world. That's what Solomon is saying to us. He looked at the world with all of his wisdom and his skepticism and his criticism of this world, and he looked at it and he said, I considered it all, and this is what I have come to conclude, that you can have hope if you are among the living. You can have hope if you are among the living. And those who are trusting in Jesus Christ as their Savior, knowing that they have their sins forgiven, are truly among the living. That is what Jesus Christ does for us. That is what God by His hand has done for us. When you know your sins are forgiven and you have eternal life, you can be joyful even in this harsh world. Don't go through this life without the hope of the living. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Jesus will give you hope, and He will give you the hope you need to experience the joy of this world. This world does have some joy to offer us, but you really can't experience that joy and fully unless you have the hope of Jesus Christ. Christian, are you allowing this world to rob you of the joy of your salvation? I know there's been times in my life where I would have to say yes to that. There's been times in my life just in the last week where I would have to say that. Where I would have to say that I looked at this world and I looked at the problems in it and I looked at the things that were going on around me and I allowed the world to rob me of the joy of my salvation. Don't let that happen, Christian. Remember, you have a wonderful hope. You have a wonderful hope in the Lord Jesus that can keep you going. Are you allowing worry and criticism to make you miserable? Let's remember what Romans chapter 6 says in verses 11 and 13. It says this, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So, repent of your sin, of your sins of worry and criticism, so you can enjoy life. So, what is in this world that we can glean joy from? What is it that we can glean joy from? Let's see what Solomon has to say. Look back in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Look at verse 7 with me. It says, for he does not know what will happen, so you can tell him when it will occur. Oh, wrong chapter. Let me get on verse 9 here. chapter 9. It says, go, eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart. For God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white and let your head lack no oil. Now, we can be joyful in this world by enjoying the simple pleasures of this life. We can be joyful in this world by enjoying the simple pleasures of this life. Psalm 104, verse 15 says this, that the Lord gives wine that makes the glad heart, wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. Now, Scripture, we know from Scripture that some people make the pleasures of this life their God. That's what they live for, right? They live for eat and drink and clothes and all vanity, right? We know that, but that's because they're focusing too much on these things. This results in gluttony, drunkenness, vanity, and this is what happens in our world. There is a balance, but for the believer in Jesus Christ, who is led by the Holy Spirit, there is joy in the simple pleasures of life. And that's what I think we need to understand. Now, let me go through some of these simple pleasures, because I think we can gain some joy from them. In Israel, grape juice was a favorite in Israel. They grew orchards. Now, this wine had some fermentation to it as it sat in the bottles. But I want you to understand, it wasn't from the alcoholic content that these folks were getting a merry heart, because they weren't, the alcoholic content in it wasn't high enough to make them drunk. It was, make it so that when they diluted it with water, it made a purified drink that was very enjoyable. It really was. It was a wonderful drink. They enjoyed it, and they drank it regularly. And I think that's something that we could that we can relate to in Rhode Island. What is our favorite drink? Look at the street corners and tell me. There's a Dunkin' Donuts on every street corner, right? There's a coffee shop everywhere. Our enjoyable drink, the drink that we love, is coffee, right? I mean, we love our coffee. In Israel, it was the fruit of the vine. In Rhode Island, it is the bean, right? The coffee bean. We love coffee. You know what else we love in Rhode Island? We love Italian bread. Now, I do. I love Portuguese bread, too. You like Portuguese bread? I love it. You know what else I love? I love taking that Italian bread and dipping it in extra virgin olive oil and eating it. Hey, these are some of the things that they were enjoying back in Israel. Hey, that's wonderful. We ought to enjoy these things. We ought to. You know what? Next week, when we're all together over here in the fellowship hall and we're eating all that good stuff over there, we ought to enjoy it. We should. We should enjoy it and not let anything rob us of the pleasures of doing that. We really should. I can see it now, somebody saying, instead of enjoying the food that we're going to have, they're going to say, I wonder who paid for all this. Boy, you know, this seems kind of extravagant to me. Or the opposite. Boy, they could have spent a little extra money on the plates and the silverware. You know what I'm saying? There'll always be something that you can be robbed of your joy for. Don't do that. Enjoy what we're going to have over there, okay? Enjoy the simple pleasures of life, and don't let anything rob you of that. This is what Solomon is trying to tell us. We like nice clothes. That's okay. I like getting dressed up on Sunday morning for church, you know, but I also like putting on my camo. We understand that. We can find some joy in the simple things of life. You know, recently we have a Facebook page for the church, and I check the Facebook things every once in a while, and I found out one of our dear college friends, her name is Sarah Fulcher, she has developed cancer. Now, she's only 38 years old, I believe, somewhere 38, 40, very young, and she has developed cancer. She is having a very difficult time, because she's going through chemotherapy. And anyone that has gone through that or has seen what happens when that takes place, it is not a fun thing to go through. She has lost her hair, and she's struggling with the sickness that comes from chemo and all that. And my heart really goes out to her. We emailed her and told her we were praying for her. But it's amazing to me, her testimony. She's always constantly writing things about praising the Lord there on the Facebook. But something struck me the other day that really hit home with me. This is what she posted. She said, "So thankful I feel good on such a beautiful day the Lord has given us. Good to be home and able to enjoy it." Think about that for a minute. Here's a person that pretty much has the, what I would call the right to complain, yet she is finding enjoyment and joy in the simple things. That should speak to our heart. You can find joy in the simple things of this life if you have the same hope Sarah does. You see, her hope is in Jesus Christ. She knows if she dies of this cancer that she's not dead. She's among the living. That's what makes all the difference in the world. Not only can we find joy in the simple things of life, but we can find joy in this world by making the most of our relationship or relationships with others. Now, you may ask, how can I find joy in relationships with others, especially when I consider all their faults? Now, hey, I understand that. How do you do that? I'll tell you exactly how, because the Bible tells us how. Through the Holy Spirit. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, His Spirit indwells you. And that will make it so you can enjoy your relationship with others. That's exactly what happened after Pentecost, after the believers had received the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, you can find that. If you want to turn there, you can. But in Acts chapter 2, in verse 46, this is what it says. This is talking about the believers in Jesus Christ, the new believers there as the church was being started. It says, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart," or generosity. Hey, these folks were able to fellowship and have joy as they were together, as they were relating to one another. Now, these people were spending a lot of time together. They were going house to house. They were spending a lot of time in the temple. They were around each other all the time. Yet they were able to gain joy from all those relationships. Now, let me ask you something. You hang around people that much, are you going to find out what their faults are? Absolutely. I guarantee. And they're going to find out what your faults are. Does that mean you can't have any gladness in your heart when you're fellowshipping with them? Absolutely not. You can have joy. You can be happy around those people. You can have gladness because the Holy Spirit will help you do that. And He wants you to do that. And He will give you joy through that because you are with other believers. And He is there with you. Remember what I've said several times before. And I've quoted this passage of Scripture before, where Jesus said, "Where two or more of you are gathered, there am I also." So when we're gathered together, when we're around, that's where Jesus is. And that ought to make our heart glad. Now, finally, look at verse 10 of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. It says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. That for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." Finally, we can find joy in this world by making the most of our work. Now, I have often heard people say, I hate my job. I hate my job. Now, I can understand that sentiment. I really can. You say, well, you're the preacher. You're not supposed to hate your job. Well, you know what? Sometimes I do hate my job. Okay? So there's, hey, with every job, there are things you can find in it that you can hate. Absolutely. There are things you can find to hate in every job. Maybe that's why they call it work. I don't know. But I understand that sentiment. However, having a job that you hate doesn't have to rob you of your joy. Understand that. Having a job that you hate doesn't have to rob you of your joy. Most, if not all, jobs have stuff you can hate about it. What keeps it from stealing your joy is perspective. Notice in verse 10 that Solomon basically says, if you are working, at least you're not dead. That's basically what he says here. If you're working, at least you're not dead. It's perspective. You got to put a good spin on it. That's what he's trying to tell us here. We as Christians should have a perspective that can even glean joy from our work. Because remember, the Bible says that everything we do, if we do it unto the Lord, it counts. Everything we do, if we do it for the Lord, it counts. That's the kind of perspective we need. And that kind of perspective will help us glean joy even from a job we hate. It will. Someone else said, well, let me go on. So, try to find some joy in the labor you are doing. Now, in conclusion, I'd like to say, I saw a quote on Facebook that said this, worrying won't stop the bad stuff from happening. It just stops you from enjoying the good. It really does. That is so true. Worrying won't stop the bad stuff from happening. It just stops you from enjoying the good. Someone else said, anxiety kills joyful living. Anxiety kills joyful living. Another true statement. So, let's remember to get enjoyment from the things God has created to give us joy. But most of all, let's remember that we have time, that we have true joy in this world because of what Jesus has done for us. Remember that, please. You might be experiencing some anxiety in your life. You may be looking at this world and it's just robbing you of all kinds of joy. It's robbing you and you are feeling miserable because of this world. I want you to understand something. By God's hand, He has provided a way through His Son Jesus Christ to give you a hope, to give you a living hope that will help you through this world and give you joy even in the most difficult circumstances. All you have to do is trust in His death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins. Receive Him as your personal Savior, and you will have that hope.